A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Do not outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Jesus began to teach the large crowds that gathered around him many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And he said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen." When Jesus was alone, those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look, but not perceive, and may indeed listen, but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." And Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones on rocky ground. When they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit, 30 and 60 and 100-fold. Jesus said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under the bushel basket or under the bed and not on the lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be disclosed. Nor is anything secret except to come to light. Let anyone with ears to hear listen." And Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of Christ.
Jesus is well known for being one who taught in parables. That's something that is quite commonly understood. If you were to ask somebody, who is the person that used parables when they taught? Most everybody's going to go, Jesus, right? Now, that's not to say that Jesus is the only person to use parables, but he certainly was the one who was quite noted for doing so. And here we are now in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, and we have this chapter dedicated to the fact that this is what Jesus did. He taught with parables. Now, the fact that we're in chapter 4 for this doesn't mean that he didn't already start using parables. Last week from chapter 2, we talked about how, you know, you don't put new wine into old wineskins, which is a parable. We just haven't had this highlighted yet with Mark. And later on in the gospel, we'll see that Jesus continues to use parables. How many of them depends on how you want to count them. Last I checked, it's like a dozen or something like that. But anyway, the point is, parables are a thing that Jesus did all the time. And Mark is drawing attention to this aspect of his ministry. This entire chapter goes there. Now, we said when we were going to be exploring this gospel that we wanted to do so allowing the gospel of Mark to speak for itself, recognizing it's the first of the gospels to have been written, so we're not going to draw from Matthew and Luke and John to fill it out. We're just going to stick with Mark. And in keeping with what we've done before, we also want to approach this thinking about what it would be like if we were there and this was unfolding before us. So we don't want to rush ahead to what we know ends up happening in the story. We want to take it as though we were there. And there are essentially two groups of people whose perspective we can take in this particular chapter. There are the crowds who come to listen to Jesus, and there are his disciples. Now, he's called more disciples than we highlighted over the last couple of weeks. He now has enough that he was able to choose 12 of them and designate them as apostles, but he has, so not only those 12, but others who are hanging out close to him. So there are those who are close to Jesus, his collection of disciples, including the 12 apostles, and the crowds who come to listen to them. Now, if we were to take the perspective of being someone from the crowds, then all we would get from this chapter is the five parables that Jesus teaches. And so if we were to go through that chapter again, the crowds gather and Jesus says, "Listen, a sower went out to sow." And we hear him talk about how the seeds were on the path and on the stony ground and the thorny ground and the good soil, and it produced a harvest. And then we would hear him teach the next parable, which was to say, look, if you have a lamp, you don't hide that lamp under a basket or under your bed. No, you put it on a lampstand so it can shine and it can spread light on things. It can expose the things in the darkness, right? Then we would hear his third parable, which was to say, if I remember correctly, let me read it here. Yes, the measure you give will be the measure you get. And so if you are going to be generous in doing these positive things, you can expect to see that coming back to you. But if you're going to be stingy about it, not lots is going to come your way. And then the last two parables we did hear, he say, are about what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a person who went out and scattered seed and sowed it, and then he went to sleep, and then he got up the next day and went to sleep and got it up the next day and went to sleep and got up. And in spite of all that, the seeds are growing, and he doesn't even know how it works. Just that the earth produces of itself, first the stalk, and then the head, and then the head on top, that which gets harvested. And then the last parable is also, he's asking, what shall we call, what parable shall we use to describe the kingdom of God? It's like a mustard seed. smallest of all the seeds, and yet once you plant it and it grows, it becomes this great bush, this shrub that even allows birds to find shelter under its leaves. That is what we would hear if we were one of the crowds. You just get the five parables. But we find that there is a different perspective that comes for those who are close to Jesus, his disciples, including his 12 apostles. And what we read here is that after he did that first parable, which we typically call the parable of the sower, I'm going to argue that there can be a better title for that, but there's no time to get into it right now, so whatever. We know it is the parable of the sower. He is alone at one time, and those who were around him, along with the 12, asked him about the parables. And so then Jesus responds, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand all the parables?" And then Jesus goes on to explain, look, the sower is God, the seed is the word. You know, when the seed falls on a path and it doesn't take root, it's because the birds, that represents Satan taking away the word, right? And the seed that falls on the stony ground, well, that represents not having enough depth so that when persecution or trouble comes, people stop following Jesus, right? People stop following what God would want them to do. And the thorny ground represents the cares of this world and the desire to get rich and stuff that takes precedence over following in the way that I'm teaching. So we see an explanation for the parable of the sower being given to those who are close to Jesus. And what's interesting is he says, if you don't get this parable, how are you going to get all of them? And so Jesus is saying that this parable is kind of the template. It's the one that sets the tone for what all my parables are about. And he tells the disciples specifically about it. Now, that isn't bad. I mean, we've got kind of like those two groups of people, but you know, it makes sense that this kind of thing would happen. If you were to go to a university and attend a guest lecture, or a public lecture rather, by one of the professors at the university, that's great, right? Anybody in town can go to the university and listen to the prof give their lecture, and you'll get something out of it, and you'll get to learn, right? But obviously, if you were one of the students who spends every week attending classes with that prof, even about the same topic, you are going to get far more detail and far more info about that because you are specifically being a student and you've made the commitment to following that professor. The public lecture is still beneficial and helpful and you learn stuff, but obviously those who are closer are the ones who are going to get more from that professor. So in a similar way with Jesus, the crowds come to his public lectures and learn stuff, but those who are close to him are the ones who get the deeper information. And we see that reflected here in Jesus explaining this parable. And at the end of the passage, it said that he would continue to explain all the parables to his disciples. Everybody else hears the parables and are left to think about them. But you might also recognize that I've skipped over a couple of verses that when you first heard might have come across as kind of disturbing to you, as they should. Let me explain what those verses are. What the chapter says is after he gave the parable of the sowers and said, "Let anyone with ears to hear listen," we continue to read that when he was alone, those who were around him along with the 12 asked him about the parables. And Jesus said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God." Okay, again, that's not inherently a bad thing. They're the ones that are close to him, right? But then Jesus goes on, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything comes in parables in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." Hope that makes you do that. What are we talking about? Jesus is saying, I am teaching these things in parables so that the crowds coming to my public lecture actually don't get it. That's why I'm teaching in parables, so that they can hear what I'm saying but not understand it, because otherwise they may turn again and be forgiven, and we don't want that, seems to be the implication. And that's where we're left with. And then he goes on and explains the parable of the sower to his disciples. Can this really be what Jesus is saying? The reason I'm teaching in parables is to keep it obscure from people so that they can't understand? Well, let's understand, first of all, where Mark is getting this idea. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 6 in the Hebrew Bible. Isaiah is receiving his call to be a prophet of Yahweh in this chapter. And he has this grandiose vision of the throne of God in heaven, and then there's a dialogue between him and God. And here's what happens. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I, Isaiah, said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand." And then God continues saying to Isaiah, "Make the mind of this people dull and stop their ears and shut their eyes so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant and houses without people and the land is utterly desolate." And he goes on a little bit further. Okay, what's going on here? Well, it's at this point that we have the, as we remember back from the fall, the kingdom of Israel is divided into two, and the northern kingdom of Israel has 20 kings that don't even bother paying attention to Yahweh. They're not following Yahweh, they're following other gods, they're letting the people do the same thing, and the northern kingdom of Israel is not following in the way of Yahweh. And now Isaiah is being called by God to speak to Israel, to tell them that God has had it up to here with you, that's it, you're done, you're toast. So Isaiah is going to speak to Israel, but it's not going to do any good because God has already decided you're done. And sure enough, a few years later, the Assyrian Empire conquers the northern kingdom of Israel, just as had been prophesied. And so this passage of scripture about the people having their ears stopped and having their eyes shut is all about the idea that God will enact what he had said he would do to the northern kingdom for their faithlessness. And yet this is the passage that Mark chooses to apply to Jesus' teaching in parables in Mark chapter 4. Now the wording was slightly different, and the reason why is Mark is using the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible was translated into Greek in a version called the Septuagint, and that is what the gospel writers had to use, so the words sound a little different, but the gist is still the same. So the question comes, why on earth is Mark saying that Jesus, in teaching his parables, is doing so in order that the listeners will not be able to understand? Because if they do, they might turn again and be forgiven. Why is he saying that? And especially since Jesus has talked about forgiveness a couple times so far in the Gospel of Mark, but there's no talk about, you know, eternal matters or something at this point. Why is he bringing this up? Now, I said before that we're not going to draw from Matthew and Luke to help fill out what Mark is saying, but we do need to look at what Matthew and Luke do with this, just to show the struggle with this passage. So both Matthew and Luke used Mark as the foundation for their gospels. You will find virtually the entirety of Mark in both Matthew and in Luke, including this passage. But how Matthew explains it is different from how Mark explains it. Here's what Matthew says about this particular section. "Then the disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen but never understand, and you will indeed look but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.'" Do you hear the difference in how Matthew is explaining this? Matthew is saying that the reason Jesus teaches in parables is because the people have closed their ears to truth and have shut their own eyes from understanding. Matthew is saying the reason people don't get what Jesus is saying is it's because it's their fault. They are the ones who have allowed their hearts to grow dull. But that's not what Mark said. Mark said Jesus teaches in parables in order that they do not understand and do not get it. Matthew basically looked at Mark's work and said, yeah, no, that's not it. It's this way instead. The people are at fault. Luke does it differently yet again. Luke's version of this is to say this. The disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others I speak in parables so that looking they may not perceive and listening they may not understand. And that's as far as he goes. So Luke agrees with Mark in the sense that, yeah, Jesus is doing this specifically so that they don't get it, but Luke doesn't include the consequence. He doesn't say that ultimately, you know, we don't want them to repent and be forgiven. He leaves that part out. So all three Gospels are making reference to Isaiah, which has nothing to do with Jesus talking and nothing to do with the character of Jesus that we've already seen revealed in the Gospel. What is there in the first three chapters of Mark that would give the reader the idea that somehow Jesus is wanting to keep something from anybody? Especially in an attempt to try to fulfill some prophecy that was evidently done 700 years earlier that had nothing to do with this current situation? It doesn't make sense that this is what Jesus would say. It doesn't make sense for Mark. It doesn't make sense for Matthew, and it doesn't even make sense in Luke. Now, interestingly, I am not alone in making this conclusion. If you go through the Revised Common Lectionary, which tells us how it is that we're supposed to read what on what Sundays, it skips over that part. When you get to Mark chapter 4, it does the parable of the sower, skips those two problematic verses, and carries on. There's an awareness that there's an issue with that. And so what I am asking you to think about is this. If Mark wrote this first because his was the first gospel to be written, and he's writing, you know, 65-ish CE, 35 years after Jesus' ministry, and if after writing that, Matthew says, no, that's not really it. This is the way it should be. And if a little bit after that, Luke says, who probably didn't know anything what Matthew was saying, just simply saying, yeah, no, this is the way it should be. Is there any reason for us to have to pick which one is right? Or is it possible that Mark is bringing something into his version of the gospel that maybe doesn't belong there? Dare I say that? We've already made observations like this. Last year, when we were talking about the gospel of Matthew, we said that it's only the Gospel of Matthew that really contains these threatening statements that Jesus would give. This is what my heavenly Father will do to you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. And all the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth stuff is something that's really in Matthew. That's a Matthew thing. And we're suggesting that Matthew, in his reflection over the decades before writing his gospel, kind of had that bee in his bonnet and included that, which none of the other gospel writers are saying, and doesn't really fit the character of Jesus that we know. And I'm suggesting in a similar way, Mark is doing the same thing. After 3.5 decades at least of the early Christian church, the Christian following the way of Jesus, he's encountered things that have been frustrating. How come people aren't getting this? Why can't people see the truth like we have seen? Why are we being persecuted? Why are people not saying yes to Jesus? You know what? It goes right back to the same kind of obstinacy that the northern kingdom of Israel had done. It's the same kind of thing that we see in Isaiah. That's what's going on here. And he puts that in to this explanation of Jesus' parables. Now, if you are a person who is saying, well, wait a minute, this is kind of uncomfortable to hear, Derwin, because after all, this is the word of God, right? Like this is the word of God. It can't be wrong. It can't have contradictions in it and all of this. And you're just saying that Mark was wrong about this. I totally appreciate that would be an uncomfortable place to be. But let me simply point out that at the end of Mark chapter 4, it says, With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. This is not a verse that explains that with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them so that they could not understand. It's instead as they were able to hear it. And as we go through the parables, the ones in this chapter, the ones in subsequent chapters, the whole point of Jesus teaching them, and this is what we often hear, is that they are his sermon illustrations. These are ways to make it better understood. These are stories to amplify it. How can the parable of the Good Samaritan somehow be delivered in a way to keep people from getting what he was trying to say? The parables are meant to illustrate, to open up, to make people think, to cause them to ponder. After all, Jesus' opening message is repent, change your thinking, because the kingdom of heaven is near. I think what we're seeing in this passage is the writer of the Gospel of Mark has his bone to pick and sticks it in there. Now, there are some Christians who hold to this view as it stands. That's what it says in the Bible. That's what it has to be. But let me just add that those are Christians who hold to a view of the sovereignty of God to the extent that God chooses who is going to heaven and who is going to hell. That God is deciding who gets it and who doesn't. That the sovereignty of God is to the extent that ultimately you really don't choose, you are predestined one way or the other. There are Christians who think that way. But here's the thing. Even back when I did believe that absolutely every word is the perfect word of God in this book, functionally, I never ran into anybody who actually believed the way Mark said it. Because it doesn't make sense with the rest of the character of Jesus. Now, in saying all of this, am I wanting you to now look at the Bible with suspicion and think, well, what can we trust then if this isn't right? This is why we wrestle with the scriptures. This is why we look closely at them. But we don't have to be disturbed by this so much as we sit and look at the big picture and go, how does this really make sense? You see, the parable of the sower ultimately is all about the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, this is the template parable for all of the parables. And so Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of God. And what does he say about the kingdom of God? If you've got a lamp, you don't hide it. You put it on the lampstand. And then what does he say? There is nothing hidden except to be disclosed. But I'm teaching in parables so that you don't understand. There is nothing secret except to come to light. Jesus' approach is to share the light of the good news of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about the kingdom of God and what this is like. And the interesting thing is before the gospel of Mark was written, all of Paul's letters were written. And we read from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 12. And what we read there, you know, it's interesting. Paul does all of his writings about how to live as a Christian, how to live in the way of Jesus before any of the official gospels are even published. And his conclusion was to be the kind of people that reflect the qualities of the kingdom of God as revealed in Jesus. And so what we heard in Romans chapter 12 was things like, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Don't claim to be wiser than you are. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. These practical instructions that the Apostle Paul gives are written down in the absence of a published gospel already. The conclusion reached in everything we see in Jesus' life is these are the ways that we ought to live. This is how the kingdom of God is seen. And what good would there be to hide any of that from anybody? If we all lived like that, what a world this would be. So as we explore the Gospel of Mark and hear Jesus' parables, let us allow what we hear in those teachings resound such that we walk in them and do them and see them being exhibited in our lives. Because that is the good news that Jesus came to share. Amen.